was a lot of words, man.
Yo, you really delivered, man.
That was a lot of words, and I felt like I could feel the Hard Network out.
You were out of breath.
Approaching.
Well, yeah. Explain to us what would have happened there, because I believe the fear ran over the studio. Look, we have hit Greg Cody with the Hard Network out now for so many years, and he often gets legitimately mad about it. And he has threatened to never do the Back in My Day again because of how mad he has gotten. And we all know that the one place where we are not allowed, the one rule as it regards the Hard Network out is, do not do it to Greg Cody when he's in the middle of his Back in My Day. You were coming dangerously close there because that's the longest one you've ever done. If you had gotten clipped there, would you have been mad at us?
I probably would have faulted myself, but you did notice my delivery was quicker than usual. I felt myself really talking quickly, trying to cram in a lot of words. But once you hit me with the Hard Network out in the middle of me describing a life-threatening tumor, I figured, all on deck, nothing was sacred. So,
Greg, can we go back to the beginning of the Back in My Day? You were fumbling through papers. I was very concerned. I was a little bit nervous.
You've never taken longer to start one.
Yes, yeah.
Did you just say all hands on deck?
Yeah, something like that.
Why did you
back
say?
Back in my Navy days.
Why did you say all hands on deck? What did that have to do with what we were talking about? What, are you out of gas? No, this is what happens to him after the Back in My Day.
Done.
He is so done. You realize that he's just got this one burst of content stamina, and then he immediately goes impotent. Like, he just is, look at him. He's grunting.
All hands on deck.
He is, this is basically a sprint for him, and he's got nothing left. All hands on deck didn't make any sense there.
I'm just throwing a bunch of words.
He's just
putting
talking.
Them out there, hoping they show up on time. I don't know.
Are you aware when you are holding up your Charles's chips that we are on the radio, and while the visual joke may have been funny to the national television audience, most people are listening on the radio, so all they're hearing is me saying to you, hey, Greg, it's the radio. Talk as you wiggled and shook your Charles's chips bucket.
All right. I'm trying to give a little secret a reward to the people who are actually watching on TV.
Mike, I wanted to get into this conversation.
Really?
About, for some reason, you've wanted to talk about the the movie Collateral, for some reason, movie that's 20 years old.
Oh, thank
you.
In that movie?
Thank you for finally overhearing this.
Was that Tom Cruise?
Tom Cruise, yeah. Jamie Foxx, yeah. Jada Pinkett Smith, yeah. Yep. Javier Bardem also in a small role in that film. It's an incredible movie. I heard a podcast dedicated to it, and they were arguing that this might be Michael Mann's masterpiece. A lot of people would push back immediately on that and argue Heat. And I think what people are remembering is everything that surrounded Heat, which was it's Pacino and De Niro for the very first time, and even within that film, there's a slow burn until you finally see them share screen time. But if you watch Heat again and do it, it's a great film. Doesn't exactly hold up nearly as well as Collateral, which was really ahead of its time. It's like the first film that's like all digital, and it very much looks like it's off of a digital camera, but it works for this film. But at the very beginning of the film, when we are introduced to Tom Cruise's character, he's at LAX, and he bumps into Jason Statham. Already at this point in his career, typecast as an assassin type. He hands Tom Cruise a briefcase, and he goes on his way. A popular fan theory, and what I personally like to imagine, is that that is the transporter, just existing in this collateral world. And it got me thinking of other great fan theories. Are you guys familiar with fan theories?
Tarantino's got a ton of them.
Yes.
Around his movies. Like, what are the unknown mysteries that the director was trying to, make art with symbolically?
A popular fan theory, like the one that Dan just referenced, is the Vega brothers, John Travolta's character from Pulp Fiction, and Michael, what's his last name? It's not McDonald.
Bolton.
No. Thank you for helping me, though.
Jackson.
Madsen.
Yeah, Michael Madsen. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yes. Senior moment.
When's that South Beach session with Michael Madsen going to run?
Never going to run.
Oh, when that was so good.
When he was on back so medication and we talked to him, asked him one question, and it lasted 40 minutes.
Right.
That's never going to run?
Never going to run.
Then
never.
We did it again another time, and it was much better, and that wasn't allowed to run because he was crying, and his publicist didn't want us to use that.
Sadly, never going to run as well. His character from Reservoir Dogs, the fan theory, since they share a last name, is they must exist in the same universe and they must be brothers. Another popular one from the Tarantino universe is you never see what's inside the suitcase that has a gold glow. Oh, that's Marcellus Wallace's soul.
Right.
These are fan theories. And I stumbled upon some pretty ridiculous ones. For example, the Terminator and the Matrix are a part of the same universe. Only this is Skynet, what everyone's plugged into. That's the existence of the Matrix. And you could actually tie those two together since they're Warner Brothers films. Willy Wonka is a cannibal. Fairly obvious when you watch it back, guys, that Willy Wonka was absolutely murdering these children so he could eat them and make candy out of them. And I'm wondering if you guys...
Is that fairly obvious to you guys?
Oh, yeah. I'll give you another one. Grease. I found it weird. I recently watched Grease, and outside of being appalled at how poorly some of these high schoolers were casted and how poorly this film is aged, that at the end of the movie, we're just supposed to accept that Sandy and Danny Zuko fly off into the sky in a car when it disobeys all the laws of physics, even though that this is a musical.
Hold on, though. You just made me think about something for the first time that I never thought in childhood. Why are Travolta's high school buddies all 35?
It's a little strange, incredible. Yeah.
There is one guy that straight up got, at least he's on his second divorce in this film. I mean, it's pretty incredible. I think RZA was 33 years old when Soccer Channing played RZA. So there's a theory, if you remember Summer Lovin', she nearly drowned, that Sandy actually did drown. And this is the afterlife, which would explain them disobeying the laws of physics at the end of the film.
Oh, okay. And it would also explain how his high school classmates never seemed to age, even though they were all filled with the regret that comes in your 40s.
Right. They were just various ghosts of Christmas past, I guess. My favorite one that I stumbled upon, because I'm starting to like the really more ridiculous ones, was Kevin McAllister from Home Alone grew up to be the Jigsaw killer from the Saw franchise. And that one makes sense. We have a pretty plausible backstory. He obviously has parent issues and he has plenty of experience laying traps that could kill people.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if you've guys, and I've been yammering for quite some time now, have either pulled up some fan theories of your own or have ever dreamed up a concoction where you would like to have movies share a universe that don't exist. Going back to Kevin McAllister, how great would it have been if we saw Gremlins versus Kevin McAllister in the Home Alone house?
Space Jam is going to try and do that, and Billy doesn't want it. Billy is down with... Billy has already shook his fist at Space Jam for trying to do something where they more obviously combine the worlds.
Do you guys ever just watch movies and then move on and watch another movie?
Way too
saying,
much
like, how
thought.
How do these movies come together? Right. What is going on here? Oh, Jesus.
I promise you,
my head hurts.
I promise you, I do that all the time. And this sounds like it's born out of a bad mushroom trip. But if you've watched something so many times, as I have with Collateral, you start discovering new things. And I really fixated on Jason Statham being in it. So I'm wondering if anybody has any other fan theories.
I have a fan theory for Titanic. It's that there was enough room for both Jack and Rose on that damn door, and she was selfish. That's my theory.
I don't think that's what Mike's talking about.
Yeah, that's not exactly
that's how that works.
However,
I did Google fan theories Titanic, and that's the first one that came up. So.
Really? That there was just more room on that? There was a fan theory that Titanic is actually a sequel to Terminator, and I'm not exactly... That Jack Dawson is a time traveler going through time, and it's actually part of another James Cameron film franchise in the Terminator. That one is a bit of a stretch for me.
I'm with Billy. Just watch a movie and don't think too much. I mean, that's...
I do that all the time. I like a popcorn flick, but you never get tied up in these...
Is there a fan theory to Point Break? I'd be interested in that. Is there a fan theory there? No?
No. I saw someone tweet yesterday that it doesn't hold up, to which I say...
Oh, they can go f*** themselves, yes. Okay? Thank
you. Share
I got one. I'm scrolling through real fast, Tony. Sorry, I'm scrolling through Titanic fan theories, and the one I think that you were mentioning, one is that Rose is Sarah Connor's grandmother. That's the connection.
It's just...
What?
I mean, I feel like that's a reach, just because it's James Cameron. What do we got there, Tony?
So I've got one for Titanic where Jack floats off the door but ends up becoming the Great Gatsby.
I've seen that one. Yes, that one works. Absolutely. Roy, I see you shaking your head at this entire segment. Come on. Tell me you have a fan theory.
No, I don't subscribe to fan theories. I don't subscribe to these type of things. I just watch a movie. I think about it for a little bit. But I'm not trying to correlate two different movies to the same point. I'm sorry. That's just dumb.
Excuse me for applying the same sort of logic when actually watching Collateral and reflecting upon it and said, huh, That was actually a cool little cameo there from an unnamed Jason Statham character that looks like all the rest. Only this one looks suspiciously a lot like the transporter. What if it's the actual transporter?
Why didn't Michael Mann create a transporter then?
Look, man, I don't make these theories. He can borrow from another franchise. I mean, James Cameron didn't direct Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines.
Why would he want to?
I don't know if this fits the exact category we're talking about, but fans of Pink Floyd insist that the Dark Side of the Moon album syncs up magically with The Wizard of Oz.
I've heard that. I've done a lot of researching of The Wizard of Oz.
And?
And I've seen people do this on YouTube. I don't know if that's the intention or just a happy coincidence, but it does seem to make sense. I've seen a lot of independent sort of scoring of things. I have a pair of friends that are producers, and they scored all of Fantasia with their own original music. They were definitely on drugs.
Greg, you ever go see Dark Side of the Moon or The Wall, like the Hayden Planetarium or anything like that? Like,
oh, you know what? I have, as a matter of fact, back in the, gosh, that was a while ago. I want to say that's, what, late 70s or something?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I have seen music set to the planetarium scene. They used to do that at the junior college near me decades ago.
Did you hear the fan theory about Frida Kahlo's husband? So after they got divorced, he was heartbroken, and then he became Dr. Octopus and started fighting Spider-Man.
Just because it's both played by Alfred Molina?
Yeah.
No, that makes sense. I'm with it.